Well, Howard, let's first school us on what it takes to do an investigative report like this. What did you have to dig into?
You know, for many years, news organizations have been reporting that so many mining companies are delinquent and by how much money and which mines they are. The question that we asked was, well, what's the consequence of that? What happens when these mines get away with not paying at those mines? What happens to the miners? How many violations are committed? How many miners are injured? What's the violations rate for delinquent mines compared to non-delinquent mines, all of which we disclose in our stories? And those sounded like really great questions, but boy, were they hard to answer. Because every delinquency, every assessed penalty has a different start date. And so we had to figure out how to take all these thousands and thousands and thousands of different start dates for each penalty to come up with the, you know, periods that were relevant for figuring out violations and for figuring out injuries. And so it you know, I actually, with Ellen Smith at Mine Safety and Health News, we talked about doing this for probably 2 years. And what we were finally able to do, and it was only because at NPR we got an intern from the University of Missouri, Anna Boyko-Wyrock, who later went on staff, who was data savvy, and she figured out how to take raw government figures for injuries and violations and figure out how to make those work in the time frames that mines were delinquent, how to compare those things. Took a while to figure out how to do it. It's a very complex data assessment, but we were finally able to do it. And we've worked on this for more than a year, this project, but it was tough.
And I'm sure many of those documents were from the mining industry's government watchdog, the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration. And of course, there is a system in which they inspect mines and write violations for safety hazards that come with a financial penalty. But your investigation found an issue with this system. Tell us more.
Yeah, and I want to point out that most mining companies pay their fines. It's only a small percentage, about 7%, that do not. And this was another reason why this was important to us, because we wanted to figure out what was happening at those mines that weren't paying. And so, you know, it's this complex system of fines are levied, mining companies can appeal those fines, and they do, and there's this process underway. The fines that we're talking about in our stories are final. Either the mining companies haven't challenged them or they've been upheld on appeal. And the Mine Safety Agency, the Mine Safety and Health Administration, will basically send out, you know, reminders and payments, demands for payment. And then the Treasury Department will take over and they'll do the same thing. And they might even send the penalties to collection agencies. But the truth of the matter is that mining companies that don't want to pay don't have to, and nothing much happens to them. We found, and we're reporting, in fact, that there are federal court orders requiring payment, and many mining companies simply ignore those, and there isn't much follow-up. And the reason there isn't much follow-up and there isn't more done is really two reasons. One is, under the law, you can't shut down a mine simply because it hasn't paid its fines. MSHA doesn't have that authority under the law. And secondly, it takes a lot of work to establish what assets a mining company might have, and then to try to seize those assets to try to satisfy a court judgment or to force a company to pay. And the federal agencies involved, the Mine Safety and Health Administration, the Solicitor's Office of the Labor Department, they have not put the effort into doing that. They could. It does require an enormous amount of work, but they basically don't. So the bottom line is that a mining company that chooses not to pay basically doesn't have to. And the result is that, as we're reporting, there are many, many, many violations that continue to take place and thousands of miners that continue to be injured while these mines are delinquent.
In this report, you mentioned Massey Energy as a company that had higher rates of delinquent fines. Massey, now owned by Alpha Natural Resources, of course, was a large company. But there's probably small mines, often referred to around here as punch mines, with small operations with just one or two mines that say they can't afford these fines, and that's why they're not paying. What's the size of the companies that you found that are not paying these fines?
It's actually a mix. So you have very large companies that are either very late and not paying their fines on time. They might carry, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 in delinquent penalties at any one time, and they might be paying generally over time. So you have large companies like Alpha that's doing that. And many of the problematic delinquent companies are these small punch hole mines, or what some people call dog hole mines. And they do say that, you know, we can't afford to pay these penalties because we have these other expenses. But I'll tell you what, we actually looked at how much coal was produced at the top six delinquent companies. The top six delinquent mining companies are all, they're all coal operators. One major big one, the company's owned by James Justice, and the others are generally smaller operations. Actually, another one is also a big operation. Anyway, so we looked at the six top delinquents, and we looked at how much coal they had mined during the full years of their delinquency, and that came out to over 13.6 million tons of coal. And then we looked at how much that coal was valued at during those periods that the coal was mined, and in those states and in the regions in those states where that coal was mined, as determined by the Energy Information Administration. And we found that the value of that coal was $721 million. Those companies owed about $14.7 million. Now, some of the smaller mines, they wouldn't reap, you know, 100% of the income, because they might be contract mines and maybe they'd get a smaller percentage of that. But the point is that a significant amount of coal with a significant amount of income was produced while these top six mines were delinquent. So I understand that it can be tough to operate a punch hole mine, but a fine is part of your obligation. It's part of your obligation as a mine owner to operate a mine, and you're supposed to pay it. And our figures indicate that maybe some of these mines could have paid anyway, and that it wasn't necessarily a problem with how much money that they were taking in.
You mentioned George Miller called them, some of them, outlaw operators. And as you point out in your report, Miller introduced a bill that would give mines 6 months to pay the delinquent fines, but also say, you also say it hasn't gotten any traction. The election will put Republicans in control of Congress. What are your thoughts about that?
There's been a bill lingering in Congress for years that would require a payment within 6 months of a fine becoming delinquent. And after that 6 months, the mine could be shut down, and it would provide payment for the employees who were laid off for at least some period after that shutdown. But that bill hasn't gone anywhere, and it's not likely to go anywhere, because Congress has not been interested in mine safety regulation. If they weren't interested after 29 miners were killed at Upper Big Branch in 2010, by the way, that was a Democratic Congress in both the House and Senate at that time. If Congress couldn't pass meaningful mine safety legislation after that disaster, I don't think this would move them either. There just simply isn't the will in Congress among Republicans and some Democrats as well to add additional regulations to the mining industry.
Mm. And that being said, what impact do you hope this series makes?
What we believe is the significance of this series is that it puts a different face on the issue of delinquent fines, that it's not a benign issue, that there is a consequence to not enforcing one key element of mine safety law, an element that is supposed to discourage mining companies from adopting unsafe practices or for continuing unsafe practices. There's supposed to be a cost to operating unsafely. And if you can get away without paying for penalties, for unsafe practices, then there is no cost and there's no encouragement to behave in the right way for these mines. So, you know, my hope is that this issue is perhaps seen in a different way and appreciated in a different way. What happens as a result of that, you know, I don't know, but ultimately the safety of miners is what's at stake in all of this.
Howard Berkus with NPR's Investigations Unit. Howard, thanks for your work on this report and your time.
Thank you.